Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I want to welcome to Voices. This is Sister Debbie. God bless you on this wonderful and beautiful day. We want to talk a little bit about our babies. We want to talk about what the Lord is doing and what He's saying. Let's go ahead and go on over to Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." The Bible tells us that God has a plan for us. Another word for plan is blueprint, draft, game plan, master plan, motto, prototype. You can go on and on and on. I love words and I love defining them. Let's talk a little bit about those words. We have some more synonyms. A method worked out in advance for achieving some objective. So when God made you, He had an objective. He has a goal in mind. Right, so once He starts something, He wants to bring it to its fruition or into its end. He says, the word says, the work I have begun in you, I will complete it. So whatever God starts, He's going to finish. And it says here, so I'm reading more in the dictionary, arrangement, design, master plan, program, project, roadmap. We can go on and on and on. There's so many words to define the word and to give you synonyms for the word plan. But just to let you know that God does indeed have a plan for you. I'm also thinking about Jeremiah 1:5. And that's actually in the New Testament. You want to go on over to Jeremiah 1:5. Why are you getting on over there? And I'm getting over there with you. So we're going to do that together. Jeremiah 1:5 says, thank you very much for your patience. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. So here we have this all-knowing, all-seeing, omnipotent God who knows everything, knows the beginning from the end, and we're humans, right? We're created in the image and the likeness of God. We're representatives of Him, of the Father. Today I wanted to talk about Moses, and I want to talk about Moses when he was a baby, before he became the great deliverer. So if you can go on over to, I believe it's in Exodus, I'm going to go ahead, and if you got your listening ears on, that would be a good place, because I'm going to go over lots of scripture, and I want to be definitely sure about where we're going to be coming from. So you want to definitely go ahead and listen up. Who was Moses? Let's talk about Moses' mother. I think, everybody has a mom, so let's start with Moses' mother. Let's start with Jochebed, okay? So I'm going to gotquestions.com. It says, who was Moses' mother? Moses' mother, Jochebed, was a Hebrew woman living in slavery in Egypt before the Exodus. She was a daughter of a Levite, and she married Amram, another Levite, Exodus 2:1. According to Exodus 6:20, Jochebed married her nephew. Thus, she was Amram's aunt as well as his wife. Okay, that's different. I didn't know about that part. Anyway, how sure is that, right? We know that Moses was born several years after their marriage because she already had a daughter who was old enough at the time of Moses' embassy to act as a lookout. This was likely Moses' sister Miriam, the prophetess, who was mentioned by name, Exodus 15:20. Along with Moses and Miriam, Jochebed had at least one other sibling, Moses' brother Aaron. So Moses was born during a troubled time for the Israelites in Egypt. And this is really a real good point. If you're taking notes, this is really a good point for you to a note, because not only does God have a plan for you, but the enemy also has a plan, all right? He's also working while God is working to try to stop God's plan. And so we got to understand what circumstances and situations come in our lives, God uses what the enemy tries to throw at us. Well, guess what? God uses that bad boy for good, right? So let me go ahead and read a little bit more about Moses' mother and the time Moses was born. Moses was born during a troubled time for the Israelites. In Egypt, the king had decreed that midwives were to kill all Hebrew boys when they were born, leaving only the girls alive. Remember, this is happening in China right now, right? They've been doing it for a while. I want to say there's like 200 million abortions, if I'm right about that. Wow, they've been doing this for a long, long time. Ours, what was it, 200 years. I'm going to look more into that. This program was Pharaoh's attempt to control the population of Israelites, who were strong and growing in number in the land of Egypt, Exodus 1:8-16. There was rebellion against this murderous decree in many quarters. The Hebrew midwives refused to participate in this infanticide and deceived Pharaoh so they could avoid killing the baby boy. Sound like today, huh? Exodus 1:17-19. Moses' mother, Jochebed, hid Moses in a basket of bulrushes and set him afloat on the Nile River to preserve his life. That's in Exodus 2:3. Then Pharaoh's own daughter disobeyed the decree when she found Moses in the basket and took pity on him, adopting him as her own child. It's Exodus 2, 5 through 10. Moses was raised as a son of Pharaoh's daughter, and it was also Pharaoh's daughter who named him. Jochebed, an astounding example of God's providence and mercy, because Moses' nurse and was paid by the king for her service. So wasn't that awesome how God hooked that up? God has a way of hooking things up and connecting things. A lot of times we get in the way, we try to help God out, we mess things up. But our focus today is God's plan. You are in God's mind. Let's talk about how God feels about you, what his thoughts are towards you. Again, I said at the beginning of me opening up, I started with Jeremiah 29:11. That God has plans for you. And another word for plans, there's another translation where it says God's thoughts towards you. So if God has a plan for you, he has a very thought for you. It means he has a mind, he's thinking, and he hasn't, let me read another translation. It says, for I alone know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So God already has thoughts towards you, and then his thoughts are good towards you. Now, Satan has thoughts too, but the Bible tells us that Satan is a liar and the father of lies, and also says that, I'm going to go to John 10, where Jesus Christ says that Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So we have to understand we're dealing with two different spirits. We're dealing, one is with the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, which is love and peace and joy and goodness, and Satan is evil and wicked, and he's a murderer and a killer and all those things. And so here we are, you know, we're born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and so once we come born again, God wants us to choose his way and choose the right way, right? And of course, if you've made a mistake, like we all do, we're sinners saved by grace, you can ask the Lord to forgive you for your sins, and he will forgive you. He loves you. He has a plan for you, okay? All right, so we're going on now to Psalms 139. I want you to hold on tight. I'm going to go ahead and pull that up. Psalms 139. Thank you so much for bearing with me. All right, now I'm going to read a lot of scriptures. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Okay, here we go, Psalms 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my line down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it. Let's scroll back up here. I'm on the computer while I do this. Let me read that again. Behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as a day, for darkness is as light with you, for you form my inward parts. Verse 13, for you form my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. 14, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, this is very important as well. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. And this is the part we have a hard time with. Sometimes our soul doesn't know it very well, that we're wonderful, fearfully and wonderfully made. And this is where we really need to let the Lord go in and really do the work that he wants to do in us, helping us to realize we're creating his image and his likeness, that we are beautiful, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and just asking God to give us a revelation of that if you don't have that revelation. Amen. All right. 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. 16, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I count them, they are more than the sand. I awaken, I am still with you. All right, so I'm going to stop right there, verse 18. That's a lot of reading. I know that. I'm aware of that. But, you know, it's really good for us to meditate on Jeremiah 1:39. It brings us lots of just revelation in reference to who we are. God wants to know that, all right? So now we're going back to God's plans. What are God's plans for us? God had a plan for Moses. We read about that, or actually listened to that. I shared about that a little bit. And you know what? Also, God also had a plan for Esther. We went to the book of Esther, and I'm not going to go into it in detail, but as you go throughout the Bible, there's different characters that God had a plan for, because God has a plan for people, right? We're just not here for nothing, not just hanging around here for nothing, right? So if we were to look at Esther, I know Esther was Esther's parents died, and she was an orphan. Her mother and father died, and her uncle raised her, Mordecai, and he raised her as a God-fearing man. He raised her up in the fear of the Lord, and there was a time when there was a king, King Ahasuerus, who was looking for a queen because Queen Vashti did not obey him, and so, you know, that was dishonorable, and if she continued to do so, all the women in that province would follow her lead, and they would begin to disobey their husbands, and of course, they couldn't have that. Who would want to have that, right? So his staff suggested that he go look for another queen. So he gathered all the virgins in a particular area. And Esther was one of the women that he gathered. Now, at that time, her name was Hadassah. She did change her name. Mordecai, I believe, changed her name and called her Esther for a time, for a season. But the purpose that I'm bringing all this up, in a horrible situation, and Esther was born in a very hard time, a very serious time, a time of war. And even during that time, desolate time that she was born, and God still had a plan for her. Even though she was born an orphan, she didn't have a mother or father, God still had a plan for her. And so it's important that you understand that even though you may have dire situations and dire circumstance, God already has a plan, right? Life has ups and downs, right? And so we have to hold on when life does its little thing that it does, and it goes up and down. We have to realize that God's going to bring us to the end. The devil's going to lie and say, oh, God's not going to bring you to the end. You're not going to get there. But guess what? Satan, again, is what? A liar. Don't forget that. Cast that thought out of your mind. And remember what the word of God says, where he says, for I know the thoughts that I have for you. And or, why I know the plans that I have for you. We have to hold on to the word of God and meditate on it. All right, so we can stay strong in our spirits and hold on to the word of God. Amen. All right, so again, so the rest of Esther was that God used her in a mighty way. Esther was obedient. Esther was obedient, so she only did what the person that was over her, her supervisor that was over her, she only did what he wanted her to do. And so she gained favor with him. He blessed her because of that. And so long story short, there was various women who went before the king. And so Esther was the one who did what pleased the heart of the king. And so she actually became the queen, and God used her in a mighty way. And it wasn't because she was so beautiful or any of those things, but because God already had an ultimate plan in her for her in the beginning, right? And so we got to understand that it's not the outer appearance. You know, the Bible says that God looks at the heart, man looks at the outer appearance, but God looks at the heart. I know it's in Samuel, I'm not sure about the way I've said it, but we know that, you know, God looks at the heart, man looks at the outward appearance, and God is concerned about our hearts and stuff. And so Esther had character, and she was submissive, and she was obedient. She was a God-fearing woman, and God was able to use her and prepare her. You know, we want God to prepare us for what he has for us as well, right? We don't want our circumstances to overwhelm us, so we're not prepared once we have to, you know, go ahead and stand for God. And then we're like overwhelmed, like, oh, God, I can't do this, right? We have to be able to, we have to empower ourselves and get in the word of God and ask God to give us the strength and the grace and the mercy and everything we need to be able to stand. More time and opportunity comes for us to, you know, be who God has destined us to be and to stand up for what God has called us to be. Right, all right. So now what I'm going to do in talking about Esther. So what happened with Esther, there was a decree that went out. Actually, before the decree, there was Haman. And this is, again, it's a long story. I'm trying to wrap it up. Haman was actually an enemy of the king. At first, he, you know, was like a friend because everything was going really, really well for him. You know, he was like the king's right hand. And he had all these rights and he, you know, privileges of the king. But he became envious because Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him. So he created a plan to destroy Mordecai and his people. So he said he's going to kill all the Jews. And then Mordecai let Esther know about Haman's plot. And, of course, Esther could have lost her head. She could have died because no one just goes before the king, even if you're married to him. So she had to seek the face of God at the request of Mordecai for on a 3-day fast before she went before the king to plead on the behalf of the people who were going to be annihilated, which she did. And she did go before the king, and he heard her request, and she saved the Jews. And so, you know, Jews are going to be celebrating. Actually, it's called Purim, and it's March the 8th and the 9th. And that's when they celebrate Purim. And so we definitely want to recognize that and thank God for, you know, Esther stood up. Amen. She could have, you know, been scared, or she could have been in her flesh and said, well, you know what? I didn't think it was going to take all this. Or she could have been so much into herself and her looks. You know, I'm so gorgeous. I'm so beautiful. I love being in the castle or wherever she was living, wherever queens live. And I guess, you know, she could have been so caught up in herself, but she said, you know what? Her heart was open to God, and she remembered Mordecai, and she had a heart for the Lord. And I think that's what it was all about. And so God has a plan for us, but he has a godly plan. You know, when I think of Planned Parenthood, guess what? They don't have a godly plan. We have a plan of destruction. Again, the Bible says that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Guess what? They're doing his plan. God says, I know. What I really like is that translation where God says, for I alone know. Look, nobody else really knows. Sometimes we think our peers know, or leaders know, or different people in our lives or family know. But you know what? God says, you know what? For I alone know. Of course, we should respect our leaders. But God, you know what? When the bottom line is, God, you know what you created me to be. You know what you made me to be. So what does the Bible tell us? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all things will be added on us, right? Okay, well, that's all I'm going to be sharing today. I think I'm actually running out of time. I don't think I have that much time, but thank you so much for tuning in and listening in, and hopefully next time I'll get to share about Jesus Christ and how God used the Lord in a mighty way, and he's still using him. God bless and take care.